All right, Alexander, let's answer the questions from the live stream with Robert Barnes. And we have a super sticker from Michael Bisson. Thank you for that. From Agu, thoughts on the U.S. plan to contain China through proxies, especially how the new Japan PM came to power. And the Fed recently revealed the $1.5 trillion of treasuries were purchased through Cayman Island funds. What was that? Robert actually answered that. Yes. I don't know if you have anything to add.
No, I have nothing. I mean, the point about the U.S. trying to use proxies to contain China is what the U.S. has been doing for the last 80 years, first from the Soviet Union, now with China, now with Russia. It's just, it's, to my mind, a strategy which was very effective when it was first applied against the Soviet Union in the 1950s. But today it's really outdated and it's only going to involve the US itself in further trouble.
Filippo Neri, thank you for that super sticker. Garland Nixon says, Intel leaking like a sieve. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. True. Garland, I understand, by the way, you've just been to Russia. I'd be very interested in your views about it.
We should reach out to do a show with Garland very soon.
Absolutely.
Maybe if he's hearing this video.
Yeah,
we can schedule a live stream with Garland. Yeah. Fuzzy Balls says, question for Mr. Barnes. Is there any way Russia agrees to stop the conflict before they reach the port of Odessa? Otherwise, Crimea will always be susceptible to attacks from the Odessian coast. He answered that. But once again, I don't know if you want to add anything.
There is no way this war ends without some arrangement about Odessa being made. Of that, I have no doubt. The Russians have been talking about Odessa more and more and more. And Putin has started to do so. And he's been talking with the generals as well. So, yes, there is a potential peace agreement. But remember what the Russians are saying, that, you know, there's a lot of things to be discussed and negotiated. The proposals that have been made are only the starting point for what the Russians say would be negotiations, long negotiations, which, of course, may never even begin because we don't know how far this process is even going to go.
Yeah. Alex Fonov says peace deal in Russian language means deceiving.
Well,
Gregory Latham Jr. says, if the West was serious about saving Ukraine, they would offer totality of the four annexed oblasts and Odessa and Kharkov oblasts to Russia.
Well, they're not interested in saving Ukraine. I mean, when we're talking about the West and, you know, not everybody in the West, not Witkoff, for example, but the people who are in power across the West, they're not interested in Ukraine at all. The one thing that's become completely obvious over the last 4 years is that it's Russia they are obsessed with, not Ukraine in any way. Ukraine is something they are using. Kaya Kallas has almost said so, actually.
Yep, she has. Martin Middle says, how can we limit the influence of billionaires in U.S. politics?
Well, that's a massive question. And it would require radical changes to the political system in the United States. This is a complicated story. Perhaps one day it will have to happen. I mean, wealth has always been important in the US and it's always had a political bearing on politics in the US, but never perhaps to the extent that it is today. But there would have to be changes in the law. And, well, that's more something for Americans to sort out.
Matthew says, why is there still talk about EU boots on the ground after a peace deal? The Russians won't allow it and America won't give the security guarantee.
That's what it's being said in order to wreck the peace deal. That's one of the reasons it's being said.
David March says, I restarted my podcast after I was talking to a deep stater who said to me, you are suggesting the Five Eyes are in a conspiracy to lie to us about Ukraine. These people are that deluded.
Yes.
Yes, they are. Congrats on the podcast, David. The hockey goalie says, incredibly sad that tens of thousands of people still need to be widowed, orphaned, etc. on both sides due to a refusal by the EU to accept blind reality. Morality aside, winners dictate terms.
Completely true. Every point you say is right.
Sticky Mark says, may I wish our guest and his loved ones well and to all American friends a happy and peaceful Thanksgiving. And from that crazy old, but still sadly no longer a cat lady in Yorkshire. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Chat. Michael Russell says, President Lai of Taiwan and Takeuchi of Japan are fanning like hell Trump's new proxy war against China, a seamless transition for DC's neocons.
Absolutely. And Xi Jinping was so concerned about it that he took the unprecedented step of contacting Trump, which was China's attempt to make it absolutely clear to Trump that, look, this is a serious issue and the US needs to rein its proxies in. And Trump, judging from his Truth Social post about the call, completely failed to understand what the Chinese were trying to do.
Jeffrey Mulford, thank you for that super sticker. Zignas says, the deal is BS. Ukraine capitulates to Russia and Russia capitulates to divided states. As Alex Wiley says, how would Russian leadership survive accepting Trump's 28-point trap plan? And how could they face those who pled for the SMO?
Well, it's an academic question because the Russians have already said that in its present form, or at least in the form that we have seen, which is the form that the Ukrainians, Goncharenko, has published, it is obviously unacceptable. And the Russians have pretty much said that.
Sparky says, Robert, shouldn't President Trump repurpose the infamous El Salvador prison and primarily housing illegal immigrants to primarily house Kellogg, Graham, Wiles, Ratcliffe, Patel, et al.? Robert answered that. Sparky says, Robert, please give the word to President Trump to replace Scott Bessent with Brown University's Mark Blythe. Robert answered that as well. Jeffrey Summers says, enjoyed Alex's appearance on Weight of Chains. Will we be seeing more of a globalist pivot to Serbia-Kosovo once Zelensky and co. seek refuge in Lviv?
It is entirely possible. I mean, the situation in Serbia, in the Balkans, is very, very tense. And it is not impossible that that is where the next battle will come. But remember, if they are defeated in Ukraine, it's going to have a massive impact, ongoing impact in the Balkans, which is why it was so important to keep Romania under their thumb and why it is so important to get Bulgaria as quickly as possible into the Eurozone.
Alexandra G says, for the love of truth, thank you for your work. Thank you for that. Jeffrey Summer says, Robert, Tennessean here. Love Chattanooga. We'll be married there in the spring. Your take on Bukele and the homicide reduction. Actually, Robert answered that. Yeah. He also answered follow-up thoughts on Grifter Bukele. He answered that question as well. Jeffrey, Garland Nixon says, yesterday, RT reported that Russian intelligence predicted MI6 would restart the Russiagate. We talked about that as well. Fluid Systems says, thank you for your relentless consistency.
Yes.
Martin Middell says, how did U.S. judges usurp power from juries? I don't know. Do you want to add anything to that?
No, I have. I mean, Robert has discussed that very, very well. But of course, in Britain, we've gone a whole step further. The sinister thing, I'll just say one thing. The sinister thing about this development in Britain is that the pressure to abolish the jury system is not coming from the judges here. It's coming from government. From Starmer, from the bureaucracy in Whitehall, from the security services. The legal system itself is not saying that the jury system isn't working. Judges actually quite like working with juries. And I work with judges, and they will tell you that, in fact, juries tend to come to wise and proper decisions. The idea that juries are easily manipulated or fooled and can be won over by sob stories or whatever it is by clever defendants is a myth.
Salim M says, hey guys, had a chance to listen to Simon Dixon. We'll work on getting Simon Dixon on the show. Absolutely. Sparky says, King John's villainy is a historical fact. We know this from the villainy, even as Prince John in Robin Hood.
Well, absolutely we do. Of course, the film, as you know, the one with Basil Rathbone and Errol Flynn, basically sets it all out perfectly. Actually, King John was a very, very clever man, very hardworking, very, very cynical, possibly an atheist, which was very shocking at that time. But actually, he was in some ways a very capable king, but very ruthless and a bit corrupt and intolerable to his barons in many of the things he was doing.
Jeffrey Summers says, for Alexander, I tasted Georgian wine. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Lessa Henderson says, surely the pressure of the last 10 years has caused a Stockholm syndrome for President Trump. Is the true war between J.D. Vance and Rubio? Does Vance have a strong alliance?
Robert answered all of that. Yeah.
Answered that. Sparky says, might be a good idea for President Trump to read the Constitution. It's only around 20 pages long. According to Judge Napolitano, Trump claims he never read it and expects his people to deal with it.
Well, he should certainly read it because he sworn an oath to uphold it. So for that reason alone, he should read it.
The Palantir says, can the negotiating strategy by Russia be seen to be similar to North Vietnam during the peace talks, prolonged talks, while making ground gains? I think you both
We did. Yeah, absolutely.
Both answered that. Iranian Kiddo says, next time you see your buddy Carter Page, ask him to register as a foreign agent. Last time he narrowly dodged the bullet.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what Carter Page is doing nowadays.
Klaus Vatnes says, would it be best with a peace deal instead of surrender? It will maybe prevent Bandera, guerrillas, and the West's continuous push against Russia.
I think that Putin has made his own views on this actually very clear. Again, the comments that he made to the Security Council, the recent ones, were very, very interesting because he basically said, we all want a military solution. I mean, this is what we would actually prefer. We are not pushing forward for a military solution. We are prepared to look at diplomacy, basically for two reasons. Firstly, because we're civilized people, and if we can achieve our objectives peacefully, of course we will. But secondly, because our allies and friends want it. And his words were very, very carefully chosen. That entire exchange, by the way, was obviously carefully prepared and rehearsed in advance.
Russell Hall says the threat of Doge gave Trump bargaining power against the internal power structure. Perhaps he traded that leverage for something he thought he wanted. This from Russell Hall.
Robert answered that, and it was Scott Bessent's role in all of this.
Yeah, Scott Bessent, yeah. OMG Puppy says Fuentes on Jack Neal podcast had a great rant about PayPal Mafia and Vance Trump, one of the several warring factions hoping to inject massive Pentagon money into AI.
You know, I don't really know Fuentes at all. I know he's getting a lot of traction now, but he's not somebody I followed. So I'm not going to comment on
It's the talk, though, about Pentagon and AI here. And then you have the Vance Teal.
Yes.
Trump.
Right.
Trump investing a lot in AI. Absolutely.
That's absolutely.
Ridiculous says Trump has twice spat on the Second Amendment now.
I'm not sure how, but anyway, I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. Samuel Moroni says, are neocons in the deep state the same thing?
Robert answered that actually, and thoroughly.
Yeah. Josh Woodston says, do you think J.D. Vance could find a way to thread the needle by supporting all of Israel's objectives in the Middle East while strongly supporting Russia's positions in Europe?
Robert answered that too.
Where are the USAID files from Sam Adams?
Again, Robert answered, yeah.
Alexander G says, if Russia follow through on the battlefield, they will force a political solution. The post-conflict political resolution is always the goal.
Yeah. I think increasingly it's looking like we're going to have a military solution. The way in which this whole political peace process is playing out makes that, I think, all but certain. The big question, and Alex touched on it in the live stream itself, but I know people are buzzing about this, and we're going to do a program about this, is whether or not the failure of this process is going to result in massive escalation. Mm. And that is a real possibility.
Sparky says, tell Putin to absorb all of Ukraine into Russia, or else it will leave a Ukraine for a Bay of Pigs-style invasion by the Ukrainian government in exile.
I answered that on the program. I said that they're working very hard in Europe and the deep state and all of these people to make that precise eventuality happen.
All right. Those are the questions from the live stream with Robert Barnes. Thank you to everyone and to all of the questions that were given to us. Thank you.